I love that song. I love the message of that song. And I want the Word of God to speak this morning. If you don't hear me, that's perfectly fine. But let God's Word speak to your heart this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come to you and we ask that your Word would speak. Lord, I've got some verses to share and I've got some things to share, but God, put me behind the cross and may Jesus Christ be lifted high. Because the only salvation we have is through Him. And I'm asking you, God, this morning that you would speak. That we would be inspired, convicted, directed, guided, encouraged. And that we would be a people after your own heart because of what you have done and you are doing and you're going to do. For it's in the precious name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Return again, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. There we go. Hebrews chapter number 12. God is speaking. Are we listening? God is speaking. Are we listening? We've been going through the book of Hebrews, especially chapter number 12 in preparation for chapter 13, but I wanted to go back and kind of get us in preparation for that. Verse number 25. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke or him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." He's trying to help us to understand that God is still speaking to us and wanting to speak to us, sometimes through audible words, sometimes through situations, sometimes through the Holy Spirit that speaks to us all the time, sometimes through his word, through people. And he says, don't refuse to listen. Don't ignore what he's trying to say. It's very easy for us to put our hands in our ears spiritually and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen. I don't want to understand what you're trying to speak to me. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, don't refuse. Don't stop listening. Don't ignore what he's trying to say. He says, because at one time they did. Verse number 26, it says, whose voice, speaking of God, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, and this is what his promise was, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. He says, listen, I shook the earth one time. Matter of fact, he shook it several times. But he's speaking specifically about Mount Sinai when he gave the law. And we talked about that last week when God said, do not touch this mountain because if you touch this mountain, surely you're going to die. And the earthquake came and everything quaked and everybody was scared to death. He says, listen, I've shaken the earth before. But there's going to come a day when I'm not only going to shake the earth, I'm going to shake the heavens. God is going to destroy this earth. He is going to remake it for his honor and his glory. But brothers and sisters, mankind is not going to destroy this earth. God will destroy this earth. And if you belong to God and he makes the recreation of the world when he does, then you will be a joint heir with Christ. You'll have part of the earth. You will have part of the new beginning of the earth. And God will do all those things. But listen to me. If God said, I've done it in the past, and he says, I'm going to do it in the future, how many of you understand and realize we need to be paying attention to what he's saying there? He's speaking to us. And here's what he says in verse 27. He says, now, and this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What cannot be shaken? What is he speaking about? What cannot be shaken? You know what can't be shaken and removed is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, wait a minute, sometimes my faith is shaken. No, see, in reality, our faith really isn't shaken. Sometimes we're blinded and sometimes we're scared and sometimes we don't understand. But brothers and sisters, if you've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't lose that. It can't be taken away from you. It cannot be removed. Even though the earth may shake, and even though situations may come, and our life may be devastated, if you've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're always going to have hope. You're always going to have something to cling on to. That's what he's speaking about. He's saying the earth may be removed, the heavens may be removed, but Jesus Christ and faith in him will not be removed. Here's what he says next. As things that are made which cannot be shaken in may remain. Verse 28. Wherefore, because of this, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Underline that right there. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed. That kingdom is in heaven. That kingdom is a permanent place. That is a place that God has prepared and is preparing and is fixing and is waiting for us to come, and it cannot be removed. And then he says this, because of that, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a just God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a gracious God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a forgiving God. Our God is the creator God. Our God is a holy, righteous, wonderful God. But he has to judge sin. And he already judged sin through his son, Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, guess what? You'll no longer stand in judgment before a holy God. You don't have to worry about a consuming fire. Jesus Christ has taken your penalty. But listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, guess what? That consuming fire is going to consume you. And you don't want to be consumed by the fire of God. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to escape the consuming fire. Praise God for that. Now, God is speaking. Are we listening? I want to show you a couple things of somebody who did hear that. But first off, let's go to Jesus crying out. Jesus cried out in Luke chapter number 8. Let me show you here. Luke chapter number 8. Jesus cried out. And he's trying to get us to understand and listen to what he's crying out to us about. Luke chapter number 8. We'll start in verse number 4. Luke chapter 8, verse number 4. Jesus has gathered the people together and he's speaking to them. It says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. And this is what he said. A sower, or someone who spread seed, they went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, listen to this, he cried. Now, it didn't mean boo-hoo. It means he was making a definite statement. And this is what the definite statement is. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Brothers and sisters, we have ears. These funny things that stick out under the masks. Wings. But that's not the ears that Jesus is speaking about. He is speaking about spiritual ears. Look at me for a moment. Do you have spiritual ears? Are your ears open to hearing what God's got for you? Or is things blocking the message? Our situations, our people, our jobs, our money, or whatever. Are those things blocking God's trying to speak to you? Jesus is talking to people. He said there's four different types of people about the sowing of the seed. And the seed, of course, is God's word. But it says that only a fourth of the people that were listening were going to hear it and absorb it and apply it to their life. And may I tell you this morning, I'm hoping that you're among the fourth that will listen and apply it. But oftentimes, I can't assume that everybody is listening. They say, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I'm hearing you. How many of you can hear my voice? How many are listening to his voice? That's the difference. You can hear me all day long, but hearing him is the key. He cried out and he says, he that has a spiritual ear, let him hear. I'm glad God wants to speak to us. And I asked Alan to sing that song specifically this morning because the Word of God is God's Word. And he wants to speak to us through it. So we see Jesus crying out, listen, listen, because I want to give you my life, is what he says. Look at the next point. Elijah heard his voice. Go to 1 Kings. Elijah heard his voice. I love this story. I don't have time to delve into it this morning. But Elijah heard his voice. If you're familiar with the story, Jezebel, King Ahab's wicked wife, she threatened to kill Elijah. Elijah had just got through winning a spiritual battle on Mount Carmel. The fire of God came down and consumed the offering, and all the false priests were killed. And word comes to Elijah from Jezebel, the wicked queen, and this is what she tells Elijah. Elijah, if tomorrow comes and you're not dead, you're going to be dead just like those priests. Now Elijah just got through winning a spiritual battle that's unknown. A wonderful spiritual battle where lives were changed and God was glorified. And anytime God's being glorified, Satan's going to fight. So Jezebel, the wicked queen, sends a message, says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. So what does Elijah do? He stands firm and get ready to fight. No, he does like what a lot of us do. He ran. He was scared. He thought that nobody was standing with him. He thought he was all alone. And the Bible says that he went and he hid. Now, what did God do to Elijah for going to hide? Did God chastise him? Did God somehow blast him? Did God somehow judge him? No, it says, Elijah, you rest, and I'll take care of your needs. He sends a raven to come and feed him. He gives him rest. He gives him water. See, just because we sense things that aren't going the way they should, and sometimes we make a mistake and we go and hide, it doesn't mean that God hates us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to speak to us. It doesn't mean that God has given up on us. Some of you may be sitting here this morning saying, well, God's given up on me. I gave up on him a long time ago. I've done things that I shouldn't have done anymore. God doesn't want nothing more to do with me. Brothers and sisters, God always wants to have something to do with you. God has never given up on you. God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't set you aside. God hasn't said you're no good anymore. He is still speaking. Now look at the conversation he has with Elijah here. Look what he says. Verse number 9. And he, speaking of Elijah, he came unto a cave and he lodged there. And behold, look at this, the word of the Lord came to him. Now how did the word of the Lord come to him? It had to have been the voice of God. Now wait a minute, Elijah just messed up. He ran and hid like a little baby. No. He needed rest and God knew it. But God still wanted to speak to him. And this is what the word of God said to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you hiding? Now was God looking for information? No, he knew where Elijah was. And he knew why Elijah was there. He's wanting to get Elijah to admit that he was hiding. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want to know information. He wants you to speak to him. There's nothing more frustrating than having a conversation with somebody and them totally shutting you down. Or looking at down at their feet and you're looking at the top of their head. God's not trying to gain information. He's simply saying, Elijah, talk to me. Brothers and sisters, God is speaking to us. He's saying, talk to me. I'm not done with you. I'm not angry with you. I don't hate you. God didn't say any of that stuff to Elijah. God provided for him. And he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Talk to me, Elijah. Talk to me. How many of you have ever been afraid to talk to God before? You know why we're afraid to talk to God? Because we're afraid he's going to be mad at us. He's going to punish us by talking. No. He wants us to talk to him. And you don't have to use the King James English either. Huh? Oh, Heavenly Father, thou fairest of all. Well, if that's what you want to say, go ahead. But you know what? Sometimes it's, God, help me. God, I'm sorry. God, I need you. God, I don't even know what to say. That's okay. That's what he wants to hear. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Here's what Elijah says. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars and they've slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God, I'm alone. Can't you see that? They're trying to kill me. Here's what God told him. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke it in pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still, small voice. God's not always in the fire. He's not always in the wind. He's not always in the earthquake. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that still, small voice is still longing to speak to you today. Why don't you block out all the noise around you? All this panic and all this destruction and all this disgusting things taking place. Why don't you get somewhere even today and just say, oh God, speak to me. I need to hear you. That small, still voice. What does it sound like? Is it a female voice? Is it a male voice? Is it a peaceful voice? It could be. I can't tell you what it is. But it's a still, small voice. But listen, you know how you know it's God's voice? It will always point you to this. Always. If that voice that's speaking to you does not point you to this, you know it's not from God. Because Satan is slick. And he can come up with all kinds of voices and imitate God all he wants to. But if that small voice is not backing up what this says, you know it's not from God. So Elijah said, I hear a small, still voice. But look at someone who refused to hear. Go back to the book of Luke. A rich man refused to listen. A rich man refused to listen. Now, not every rich person refuses to hear. But this particular man did. A rich man. You know the story. Rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man, verse 19, which clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had it made. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores. He had nothing. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Lazarus was in bad shape. He had nothing. Even the dogs had to minister to him. No human being would, but the dogs did. Verse number 21. It says he desired to be fed with the crumbs. He would have taken anything he could get. 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell, the rich man, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Brothers and sisters, hell is not a funny thing. Hell is not something to be looking forward to. I've had many people tell me, I can't wait to get to hell because I get to party with my friends. Brothers and sisters, there is no party in hell. The rich man describes what's going on right now in his life. He says, I'm burning and I'm tormented. Please, I just need a drip of water. Verse 25. And Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime you received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that they would come from hence. Evidently says, listen, I spoke to you before. I gave you every opportunity before. I spoke to you and I showed you. I even brought someone into your life to show you. And what did you do? You ignored it. You didn't listen to it. You cast it aside. You trusted your riches, he says. He says, now there's a great gulf. There's nothing that can be done about it. Your last chance is done. Verse number 27. The rich man says, I pray therefore, Father, that you would send him, speaking of Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren that may testify unto him, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now he cares about his family. Now he cares because he knows what eternity is going to be. He knows what he's going to face. And he says, just please send Lazarus so they can go and speak to him. And Abraham said unto him, verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You didn't listen to it, rich man. You refuse to hear, but Moses and the prophets clearly told you all those years. Why in the world would your brothers listen to a man if he came back to life? You know why they wouldn't hear it? Because they didn't want to hear it. Isn't that like this world now? It's something ought to get our attention by these things taking place. Earthquakes and hurricanes and tragedies and deaths and all these things are taking place. And God is speaking to us. He's saying, listen to me. Come back to me. Return back to me. Trust me as your Savior. People, listen. And people are going through life doing this. La, 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 la. I don't hear what you're saying. I can't understand you. I don't. No. Christian, are you listening? Or are you just going through life, getting all you can get, and hoping that when it's all over, then the dust settles, that God's going to be pleased? The poorest people oftentimes are the richest people. Elijah listened. The rich man didn't listen. Are you going to listen? Now go back to Hebrews with me real quick. What should be the result? What would be listening? What will it cause us to do? How can you know if you're listening? What's the results of this? Here it is. Verse 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. how you can tell you're listening to the voice of God? You have grace, and you live a life that's acceptable to Him. Here's what it says. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's how you know you're listening. I just put some images up there. I just pulled them up. A young lady giving a poor man some food. A parent kissing a child. And a couple of young children with different colored skin hugging on each other. That's grace. That's service. Brothers and sisters, you want to know that you're listening to God? Serve others. You want to know that you're listening to God? Have mercy on those who don't deserve mercy. You want to know that you're listening to God? Have grace to your family members. But how about having a little bit of grace for yourself? It's a hard world. Stop beating yourself up. Stop blaming yourself. God says, I love you, my child. Live for me. Tell others about me. Show my love. One last passage, I didn't include it in here, but it's going to be very quick. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody turn there with me real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many of you are very familiar with this. Verse number 1. How to show love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You say you love people. You say you do, but you don't demonstrate it. It's nothing but a gong and a drum that's out of tune. Means nothing. It's horrible to the ears. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. But I don't have love. I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. And in Spanish, that's nada. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity or love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. It's unclear what we're seeing. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, you want to know what true love is? There it is. There it is. How do you know that God is speaking to you? How do you know that God is trying to get your attention? When He starts to show you, hey, this is true love. That's how you know. Go back to that first slide, Brother Terry or Tanner, whoever's running it up there. God is speaking, but are we listening? Not with these ears. With this here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you want to speak, and you are speaking, and you will continue to speak to us. Lord, it's so hard to hear you sometimes because we're so enamored with the things of this world. We're enamored with our jobs, we're enamored with relationships, we're enamored with physical, material things. We're enamored with all kinds of issues of life, and sometimes we're even scared and we can't even hear you. But God, right now, in the small, still voice that you have, would you speak to us? Would you cause us to hear from you? God, thank you for filling my lips this morning and giving me the words to say. But God, I thank you for your word, because it's your word that's going to change hearts and lives. May we listen. May we hear. And then may we apply that this morning. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Miss Doris, if you do me a favor, if you could just come and play something for us. I know with the COVID-19, the issues with health, I'm just going to have her play. And I'm going to ask you to remain where you're sitting this morning. And maybe you just need to speak to God. Maybe you just need to draw a physical barrier around you or mental barrier and just speak to God. Lou and Kelly, y'all come on up if you wouldn't mind.
God loves you. He hadn't given up on you.
Totally.